This show is part of the Out of This World Entertainment on the Sci-Fi Podcast Network, TSFPN.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast for TheForce.net. I'm Eric, your host, bringing you the latest news, events, and commentary from the Star Wars community. Normally, I try to have two unique segments to each podcast, but as I mentioned in the previous show, I'm in the process of moving this week, so it was more important to me to make sure you guys didn't have to wait too long to finish up the Mike Stackpole interview than it was to try to have a full show ready for you. Don't worry, there's a lot left in this interview, so it's still going to be a long show. If you don't recognize the name, Michael Stackpole has done a lot for the Star Wars Expanded Universe. He was one of the very first authors to contribute to the modern novels, and he's best known for the X-Wing series, both the novels and the comic books, though he's also written an excellent hardcover called I, Jedi. He wrote two of the New Jedi Order novels, and he's collaborated with Timothy Zahn on several short stories. He's also well known for his Battletech novels, and he's written several very successful fantasy novels as well, including his most recent book, A Secret Atlas. And then, as if that weren't enough, he also has a newsletter called The Secrets, which is designed to help aspiring authors, and then he's got a total of four podcast shows, which means I don't get to complain anymore about starting up a third one. This guy's got four. Oh, and don't forget, he also started up the Sci-Fi Podcast Network, of which we're a proud member. And, of course, on top of all that, he's still writing books. Talk about busy. Anyway, here's the rest of the interview with Mike Stackpole.
I've noticed that many fans of a particular franchise, you know, such as Star Wars, are often so wrapped up with keeping up with the books from that franchise that they don't often know where to start with other books by those authors. So, to the fans who have read your books and know that they're maybe interested in picking up something else you've done but don't really know where to start, what would be a good book for them to jump in on?
Well, you know, if you're a big fan of I, Jedi, there'd be two books. One is Talion Revenant, which is a standalone fantasy novel, and the other is The Dark Glory War, which is the first book in a set of four, which is the Dragon Crown War saga. And those two are both first-person books, and they're a lot of fun. And I think if you liked my first-person stuff, you can jump in there. I've got another fantasy novel just came out last March titled A Secret Atlas, and that's more in keeping with the X-Wing books of multiple plot lines, multiple characters going back and forth.
Now, with A Secret Atlas, this seems to be a fantasy series that's kind of a departure from the traditional elves and dwarves stuff. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, Secret Atlas, one of the things I like to do is challenge myself and challenge the readers. And part of the way that I challenge myself is to move away from some of the stuff that I've done in the past. I don't like, while I love Tolkien and while I love standard high fantasy, I think every writer who is writing today is heir to the literary traditions that have gone before us. So if you're going to do something with the Western literary tradition that would be Tolkien-esque, my God, find something different to do with some of these characters.
Right.
In this particular case, what I wanted to do was play with a couple of concepts, one of which I wanted to try and get an Asian feel to things, sort of the you know, hidden dragon, flying tiger, or whatever the heck the name.
Crouching
the
tiger,
was,
hidden dragon?
There you go. Crouching, yeah. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, you know, House of Flying Daggers, that sort of thing. I wanted to get, and the movie Hero, you know, I wanted to get that feel, that fantasy feel. So that was one of my goals.
Okay.
And then I was working with a couple of other concepts, and this is, happens to writers all the time. Someone will make an offhand comment in a book or on a television show or in a conversation, and you suddenly go, okay, if that is true, what if? And in this particular case, I was reading a book that was discussing maps and how maps were made, and the author made a comment, and he said, until a cartographer drew a place on a map, it did not exist. And I said to myself, well, that's kind of an interesting concept.
Cool.
You know, how do we play with that?
Right.
And that and several other things, you know, all rolled together to become this project that is the Age of Discovery. And a lot of research I had to do and things like that also went into it.
Cool. there's a rather large section of the community at theforce.net who try their hand at fan fiction, and I know a lot of them will love your podcast, which is geared toward teaching people the craft of writing. But before we get to your podcast specifically, I've got some questions for you on writing in general.
Sure.
When you do your writing, how often do you write? Do you, like, there's some authors say they write every day of the year. Some authors say they write, you know, 12 hours a day. What's your schedule like?
My schedule is, one, I write very, very quickly.
Okay.
I can generate a lot of words in a day. So if I'm on deadline, and I generally goof around until I end up on deadline, you know, with really tight deadline pressure.
Yeah.
I will write a chapter in the morning, have a lunch break, write a chapter in the afternoon, and then if I'm really tight on deadline, I'll take another short break and I'll write a third chapter in the afternoon. But my mornings tend to start fairly early, so I can actually get three in before, you know, the sun goes down.
Wow.
But that means that I'm writing somewhere between 5,000 and 7,500 words per day.
Wow.
To knock a novel out. And those novels will be 100,000, 150,000 words. So it's really fast, but I know that I'm fast.
Well, that brings up another question then. When you go back to, you know, go over and do second and third drafts of your novels, if you do that, how much do you end up cutting out? Do you, write a lot of stuff at once and then go back and cut out a certain percentage of it, or do you not really do that?
No, I write the word count.
Okay.
So, you know, I have the thing plotted out. The night before, I tend to think about what I've got to write the next day or while I'm taking a break, think about what goes into the next chapter. And in that case, in that way, I tend to be fairly mechanical in terms of saying, look, if it's a 100,000-word novel, I know that I have 40 chapters at 2,500 words.
So
I plot the book out for those 40 chapters. Now, if when I'm writing it, chapter 37 in my outline no longer applies or needs to be pulled down into and become chapter 32, I go ahead and do that. If I need to add another chapter and end up going a little bit long the word count, I'll go ahead and do that. So it's whatever the story needs, but I start saying, look, this is my job, therefore these are the things you got to do.
Okay. What, in your opinion, is one of the biggest difficulties facing aspiring authors?
Just sitting their butts down in a chair and writing. Everybody, there are 9 million excuses not to write. And I know, because I look for them every day. You know, because, I mean, I enjoy writing and stuff, but, you know, writing is hard work.
Yeah.
So, you know, if recording a podcast, if going to the grocery store, if, you know, any number of other things come up that prevent me from writing, it's sort of like, oh, gosh, you know, I guess I'm not getting any work done today, which is why I end up with deadline pressure and then, you know, just work really, really fast.
Well, that actually begs another question. I've heard a lot of authors say that the key is to read constantly, and I've heard others say that the key is to write constantly. Do you have a particular take on that?
Well, you have to read. What I encourage people to do, and I think this is very, very important for aspiring writers, take any novel that you're reading for pleasure and get a notebook, keep it beside you. When you get to the end of a chapter, jot down impressions of what you learned in that chapter. If a new character came in and you liked him, just say, liked Bob. If the end of the chapter made you want to go on and read more, say, ending hooked me. Anything like that. And then just only take a minute to jot down these little notes. Keep reading, because you want to read for the pleasure of the book.
Right.
Then afterwards, take those notes and go back through. And the chapter where you liked how Bob was introduced, look at how the author did that. I mean, one of the best authors to study today for characterization, for example, is Stephen King. Stephen King, in one sentence, can paint you a picture of a character that you know the guy instantly.
True.
And I mean, that's pure magic. And I personally, I think King is the best writer in the English language going today. But for his characters are just absolutely alive, and that is the soul of writing. So, you know, read lots. Also, read outside your genre.
Okay.
In terms of fiction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, writers that I talk to, 60% or more of what we tend to read is nonfiction.
Really?
Stuff. Oh, yeah. Because you're constantly having to do the research. And this is one of the things people say, well, look, you write fantasy, so you don't have to do any research. That's not true. You have to know all the facts. But what's more important is this. I'm one guy, and I may be fairly smart, but I'm only going to be able to think thoughts of one guy and only the thoughts from my perspective.
Right.
But if I do research, then I have, as research assistants, every human being who has ever lived and ever done anything. They may have done something that was, I mean, you can go and read the Darwin Awards, and you can see people who have done absolutely stupid things that make them die.
Yeah.
And yet you can get story ideas from that. You can learn things from those that you can later apply in what you're doing. So research, read everything, because it just becomes fodder for the mill, or grist for the mill, excuse me, for what you're going to be doing down the line, and then sit down and write.
Now, one topic I've always wanted to ask an author is about audiobook abridgments. I mean, you spend all this time writing a novel, and then it gets chopped in half, and then sometimes in half again for the audiobook. I mean, that's got to be annoying, right? How does that work out?
Well, look, the audiobooks are going to a different market. You know, these are. I think of audiobooks as the things which keep truckers awake while they're driving. And so whatever has to be cut out, if there are parts that they consider boring parts that have to be cut out, that's fine. I will admit, I loved the Star Wars abridgments because Anthony Heald read them brilliantly, the ones that he did of mine. But the one thing which I really loved, the poor abridger, because I write fairly woven together plots, tight plots.
Right.
I would listen to them to try and find what threads he would leave out.
Right.
And so it was great fun to find out how he would try and make it make sense. And he would have it going along, and then to the tail end, things would be being mentioned that tied back into something that was no longer in the tape.
Oh, nice.
So to me, it was a lot of fun. iJedi, the guy had to be going insane, because iJedi was huge.
Yeah.
And he had to cut it down to 3 hours.
Yeah, I can't envy somebody that job.
Yeah.
Another question I see a lot of people asking about on various websites and forums and such is about copywriting their material, not just in regards to writing novels, but in regards to podcasting or websites or all kinds of content. A lot of people don't know if they can just put a tag at the top or the bottom of their page and that's good enough, or whether it has to be registered, kind of like a patent does. You know, somebody's been doing this professionally for quite a while. What can you tell these people about copywriting their own personal stuff if they're not yet doing stuff professionally?
I understand the way the law works is this. If you publish it, you own a common law copyright because of the way the Berne Convention, which is the copyright International Copyright Convention we work under now, is set up.
Okay.
However, I think it's Alt-G on most keyboards. The circle with a C, and then the year, and then your name. So in my case, it would be copyright 2005 Michael A. Stackpole. Put that in the case of MP3s, you can say it, and I certainly say it at the end of mine. Mm-hmm. I also put it in the comments field. I think it is absolutely vital to do that. People may want to consult with lawyers about this. I seem to recall from talking to my lawyer that if you don't put that in there, there may in fact be some difficulty in recovering damages from somebody who uses your material. And I got to say this to the entire podcasting community out there, especially, there will be people, as podcasting gets hot, who will collect all of your episodes of podcasts, will put them on a CD, and will be selling them. They will sell them on eBay. They will sell them at conventions. I see it being done with old radio shows. There's no reason it will not be done with podcasts. And, people are stealing your property. It's fine for you to give it away, but why should anybody else be profiting from your effort? So put the copyright notice on there and just protect yourself, protect your work.
Yeah, that's good advice. That's something, as you said, a lot of people I don't think have really thought about in regards to podcasting yet. And I can definitely see that type of thing happening, especially at conventions.
Who has not gone to a convention and seen the guy who's got the booth with all the pirate videos?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
It's frighteningly easy to burn these things onto a CD.
Or even on the internet now, yeah, I mean, with the proliferation of homemade web stores and things like that.
Yep.
Same type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's move into talking about podcasting here. How did you first learn about podcasting?
Yeah, I learned about podcasting from Evo Terra and Mike Menengay over at Dragon Page. Now, what's interesting is that I bought an iPod about 2 years ago and was pulling down old radio shows because I travel a lot, and it was a lot of fun to have say, 6-10 hours of radio shows to be able to listen to, as opposed to pulling out a book and, you know, trying to read. And if you're reading, people will talk to you. But if you have earbuds in, they won't.
I've actually known people who on planes, they'll read a novel and they'll put headphones in their ears, even if they don't have it plugged in anything. They'll just have the cable go down into their pocket or something, because, as you said, if you have headphones on, people leave you alone.
Yep, exactly. So, and it's not that I'm unsociable. It's just sometimes, you know, I just want to be distracted, or I've got other things I want to think about, or in any event. So when I got the iPod and I was listening to that sort of content, I was immediately struck by the possibilities, which is why in 2003 and in 2004, I ended up reading chapters from books, the first chapter of, or second chapter of The Grand Crusade and the first chapter of The Secret Atlas. I read those and made them available on my website as downloads for people. Mm-hmm. So with Grand Crusade, it was actually predating the creation of podcasts. But I was thinking, boy, this is a great market. And then the guys over at Dragon Page, they're here in town, and I saw them at a convention. They started talking to me about podcasting, and I'm going, hallelujah. You know, this is the kind of thing I was thinking of.
Right.
It wasn't up on the RSS technology.
Yeah, which I got to interrupt you just for a second to give you a plug. I did listen to the first chapter of A Secret Atlas, and it's definitely worth checking out. If any of the listeners haven't gotten a chance to head over there yet, I strongly recommend you download that first chapter. It's really good. It seems like it's a pretty good indication of things to come.
Yeah. The first chapter really does hold together as its own little short story, which is kind of cool. So.
Yeah, I was surprised, because a lot of books you start in the first chapter, and you're lucky if it really draws you in at all and gets you. You almost have to make a conscious effort to sit through the first couple of chapters and let the story get going. And in this case, it really draws you in really well.
Well, and that is one of the problems with a lot of fiction, and part of the reasons why I do The Secrets and do The Secrets podcast is because there are a lot of writers out there that, I mean, let's face it, you know, when we watch the Olympics, we don't really care about the guys getting into their blocks.
Right.
All we care about is when the gun goes off, you know, to the finish line.
Right.
So, you know, you better be at speed, you know, in that first chapter, or, you know, people are just going to put the book down.
Exactly. Now let's talk about The Secrets. You actually have 4 podcasts going right now, is that right?
Yeah, and it will probably have many more, because, you know, we go back to that ADD thing. I've got The Secrets, which is sort of an adjunct to my writing newsletter, and that's 15 minutes long once a week with several segments talking about writing, answering questions, talking about words. Mm-hmm. Then I have a little political podcast, which I do irregularly, called Think About This, where I look at an issue or just a little thing in the news or a thing that the government's doing that's dumb and suggest another perspective to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've got Forgotten Tales, and that is my fiction podcast. And what I want to do with Forgotten Tales is either do short stories in their entirety or to serialize short stories or novels. And ideally, I want to get authors to be generating brand new material in series where they already have books out, so we can use these stories read in by the author or by some voice talent to either acquaint people with the books that are out there, people who might not have seen them, or people who've read the books and are just dying for new material. Here's a reward for them. Here's something that their loyalty to the series will really make them appreciate. And so I'm looking forward to that. And then the last one for now is The Secrets Interviews. And this is where I will get to sit down, much as you're doing interviewing me, I get to sit down with authors and interview them, interrogate them about what they do and how they do it, to try and get the information that will make it easier for others to see that, you know, being a writer is not this big mystical thing.
Right.
But being a writer is like being a carpenter. When the first time you try and make cabinets, they're not going to hold well together. They're going to be odd angles. Things are going to be mismatched.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got your tools. You've learned some skills. The 10th time you make cabinets, they're going to be pretty cool. And the 30th time you make cabinets, you're going to do it fast. They're going to be sharp. And people are going to sit there and go, oh, my goodness, this is art.
Right. Now, I know it's a fairly new show, but do you have any word yet on who you've got lined up for the interviews?
I've got an interview in the can with Aaron Alston, and I'm just trying to engineered. The sound quality is not quite what I want, and I just got to play around my filters to knock a couple of edges off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Other authors, I haven't confirmed anybody else, but there are a bunch of, I know a bunch of authors And what I'm kind of hoping is that I can get some of the local ones actually into the studio here at the house. Others I will venture and talk to while I'm out at conventions over the summer
cool.
and into the fall. So,
you've recently taken on a project of a rather impressive scope. Tell the listeners a little bit about the Sci-Fi Podcast Network.
Well, the Sci-Fi Podcast Network was born because I am somebody who's into research, and when I decided that I was going to start doing the podcast, I went out to start listening to podcasts to sort of see what it was I had to beat in terms of quality and how things were presented, just so I knew what the lay of the land was.
Right.
And naturally, I kind of gravitated toward science fiction podcasts, and what I realized looking at the directories was they're not organized in any one place.
Right.
Different podcasts that would be of interest to science fiction people might be in the science area, they might be in audiobooks, they might be in a category labeled science fiction. There were virtually no categories that touched on writing, other than a few places that had educational categories.
Right.
So the things that if you went to your average science fiction convention, all the programming tracks you would see weren't organized the way they are at a convention in one spot where it's sort of one-stop shopping.
Exactly.
And so I decided that really needed to be done. The second problem with podcasting, and I think this is something that will shake out, is that there tend to be a lot of people who are almost anti-production values. They don't try
right.
to have good sound, or they just don't have the equipment for good sound, or they haven't thought about producing good sound, which makes some of the podcasts really tough to listen to, even if they're covering material that you enjoy.
Right. Even if the content's decent, it can sometimes be hard to actually sit through 20 or 30 minutes of microphones popping and, you know, as you said, poor production quality.
Exactly. And there are so many really simple things you can do to up the quality of your podcast
mm-hmm.
that, you know, what I wanted to do, and I talked with Kat Claiborne and then talked with Michael and Evo over at Dragon Page, and what we all realized is there was a need for one central clearinghouse where when you go there, you're going to get podcasts of high quality. It's going to be material that interests you.
Mm-hmm.
Not every podcast is going to appeal to everybody, but, you know, all of the podcasts that are there are entertaining. And it has been a blast auditioning podcasts, bringing them in, talking to different people, you know, getting them to join up. So the site is open at, mm-hmm. well, you can do the Sci-Fi Podcast Network or tsfpn.com, and that'll take you there. And you get to see our grid, and we've got ratings that tell people, you know, whether or not this is safe for work or whether or not it's safe for the kids. It's just it's a great mix and the one place to go if you're a science fiction fan.
I think what you said about searching and browsing for podcasts is really important, because the one thing I like the most about the Sci-Fi Podcast Network is when you go to some of these other podcast directories like Podcast Alley and some of the others, you seem to be able to search by the kind of the medium or the activity, like, you know, movies or television or cooking if you're into that type of thing, which is great if, for example, I'm a big movie fan and so I'm interested in movies in general. But something like science fiction or fantasy, I mean, that covers television, movies, novels, all kinds of things, and you can't just really search by science fiction. You have to delve into each of these individual categories all over the place. And that's one really nice thing, in my opinion, about the Sci-Fi Podcast Network is that you know everything about there is going to be about sci-fi or fantasy or maybe another little fringe genre of that, like a subcategory. But you already go into the directory kind of knowing most of what you're getting into there.
Yeah, I mean, one of the watchwords for when we're looking at programs, auditioning programs, considering them is reasonable diversity. Would a reasonable
mm-hmm.
person think that this is within one standard deviation of science fiction?
Right.
So there may be, you know, there are now and there are going to be podcasts that we put on the network that are not, strictly speaking, science fiction. But they're really good storytelling, they are a joy to listen to, and I know that they're going to appeal to the science fiction audience.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons we invited them in.
Well, for example,
we've gotten some really cool stuff.
Well, for example, I mean, like the horror genre, for example, that's not too much of a deviation from science fiction.
Yep.
The movies category, most of the movies in the theaters these days are some type of science fiction or comic book related, that type of thing. Yeah, that's another thing about the site. A lot of people might see sci-fi and think that it's exclusively sci-fi and it's going to be really hardcore and such, but it actually covers a pretty diverse amount of content and yet still stays true to that type of genre.
Yeah, and that's what we're looking for. I mean, we're you know, just like everybody else, we're having fun with this, and we want everybody who comes to the site to say, one of the best things that was that I ever heard said to me about my writing was, you know, when I pick up one of your books, I never know what I'm going to get, but I know I'm going to enjoy it.
Right.
And that's what we're hoping with the Sci-Fi Podcast Network, is that you may not know what the thing is, but if you try it, you are going to enjoy it.
Now, do you have to be a podcaster to sign up for the message boards there?
No, anybody can go and they can discuss things if they want to. You do not have to be a podcaster. Anybody, listeners, even people who've never heard a podcast can go and talk about things.
Okay. Now, let's say I were a podcaster. Let's say I were a real podcaster and not some hack. how would you go about registering on TFSPN and getting your show up on the directory?
There's a very simple on the front page. There's a thing that says submit to TSFPN. Right there, that'll take you to a document. And the nice thing about that document is that it really sort of spells out, even if you've never done a podcast before and you're just thinking about it or you're brand new to it, the document goes through and spells out the things that we're looking for, the things that you ought to think about. If you're thinking about putting together a podcast, and if you feel that you check out on these lists or your show checks out on these lists, you go ahead and you fill out the there's a link to a form. You fill out the form. You know, we'll preview the show, and you'll get a note saying, you know, yes, we want you. Sorry, don't think your podcast is appropriate for us right now. Or, yeah, we want you. Can you do this?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's very simple. We want to be as inclusive as we can.
Right.
So we're trying to pull in as many shows as we can. We're also talking to people who've got other networks to try and make sure that the, you know, networks that are related, that we can cross-list material and unify everybody. And so this will be, you know, again, we just want to make it really easy for anybody who's got an interest in the field to come in and find content that they will enjoy, as opposed to having to sort through a lot of haystacks to find a needle.
Right. Well, to all the listeners out there, if you haven't already done so, you really should go check it out. As Mike said, it's TSFPN, which stands for The Sci-Fi Podcast Network, TSFPN.com. And not only are they listing the podcast for TheForce.net, and we're very proud to be one of the first members of the site, but they've also got some of the other Star Wars audio programs, like Star Wars On Direct and some of Nathan Butler's work from Star Wars Fanworks. And if you're a fan of sci-fi or fantasy in general, this is a great way to get started with listening to podcasts. As you said, there's a lot of quality content there, and it's organized in such a way that if you're interested in sci-fi or fantasy, you know that's where to go to get it.
Yeah, so, I mean, we were really happy to have your program, both of your programs, actually, to be on the grid. The other thing that was very nice about Nathan and then the guys with Star Wars On Direct, they have much longer shows, but what they've agreed to do for TSFPN is to do a highlight thing. So if you subscribe to them, you'll be getting a half-hour highlight teaser for the longer show. So you can go off to their sites and pull down those longer shows. And, you know, going off to those sites will introduce you to a whole other world of audio adventures to listen to.
Exactly. Mike, you've done so much for the fan community, I don't even really know where to begin thanking you here. I mean, you've got this excellent podcast directory set up, you're hosting your own podcast dedicated to helping people improve their writing skills, and you were one of the people who really got the ball rolling with the Star Wars fiction outside of the movies, both with the novels and with the comics. So on behalf of the fans, I'd like to thank you for all you've done and for taking the time to talk with us tonight.
Look, absolutely my pleasure. And I got to say, you know, you make me sound really, really good. All of this stuff, you know, may have been done for the fans, but gosh, I'm one of them too. So, you know, this is as much as I'm doing this for you guys, I'm also doing it for me.
Well, hey, you know, we fans got to stick together, so.
Yep, there we go.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome.
I'd like to thank Mike for taking the time out to talk with us on, well, on all kinds of topics. It was a lot of fun doing the interview with him, and I think we might even be able to get him on the show again in the future, maybe as a guest co-host. We'll see. If you haven't read his Star Wars books yet, I can't recommend them highly enough, as you've probably heard in some of the previous podcasts. Don't forget to pick up A Secret Atlas, the first book in a brand new series, so it's a good place to start with his fantasy work. Also, I know a lot of you out there dabble a bit in fan fiction, and if you've got any interest at all in writing, you've got to subscribe to his podcast called The Secret. It's a great podcast. You can check it out at www.stormwolf.com/podcasts, or you can check it out through the Sci-Fi Podcast Network at tsfpn.com. That's all for now. I want to encourage you guys to email us anytime you have questions, comments, or feedback. Our email address is podcast@theforce.net. And if you like today's show, you can help us out a lot by voting for us at podcastalley.com. Also, you've got until the end of the month to cast your votes at podcastawards.com, which is the People's Choice Podcast Awards. We've been nominated in the movies and film category, and you can vote once per day. So if you'd like to head on over there and help us out, the competition's pretty fierce, so we could really use your assistance there. As always, I should point out that the opinions expressed here belong to Mike Stackpole and myself, and they don't necessarily reflect the opinions of other TFN staff members, nor of Lucasfilm. TheForce.net is not affiliated with Lucasfilm in any way. This podcast is copyright 2005, TheForce.net, and as silly as this sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, take care, and may the Force be with you.